Beruchim ha'nimsa'im, ladies, welcome. Parashat ha'shavua, b'chukotai. I already heard Parashat b'chukotai last Shabbat when I was in Israel. They were a week ahead of us. So for me, this is a review. I'm actually up to Bamidbar, but I didn't want to leave you behind. So I thought I'd review Parashat B'chukotai for our friends here in America. The Parasha is known as the Parasha of the Berachot and the Kelalot, the blessings and the opposite. In the beginning of the Parasha, Im B'chukotai Telechu, Bet Mitzvotai Teshmeru, Va'asitem Otam. This is the prerequisite. If you walk in my statutes, b'chukotai, my laws, if you walk in their ways, with mitzvotai tishmeru, and you will keep my mitzvot, va'asitem otam, and you will observe them, you will fulfill them, then the Torah goes on to list all the blessings. Ve'natati gishmichem be'itam, you'll have an abundance of rain. The land will produce its yield. Even trees that are not fruit trees will produce fruit. The seasons are going to overlap with each other. In the season of the threshing, you're going to thresh until the season of the vintage. And then the vintage is going to last until the time of the planting, which means there's going to be such an abundance that you're never going to stop working. Your field is always going to produce. You're going to eat a little, and there's going to be beracha in your stomach. And you're going to be protected, and there's going to be peace. So, the question is, what does it mean, im b'chukotai telechu? What do we have to do to earn these blessings? So there's a classic, one of the most classic mefarshim in the Torah, was a rabbi called Rabbeinu Chaim ben Attar, Alav Shalom, also known as Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Not too many rabbis get the name Kadosh after their title. If the name stuck, that means he deserved it. Only few tzaddikim are called Kadosh, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he's called Kadosh, as well as Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Some say Rashi HaKadosh. He's a few tzaddikim that merited. He was a great, great rabbi. One in the generation. He lived about, I would say, 250 years ago, maybe a little more. He was Moroccan. He was born in the city of Saleh. And he was known to be a great rabbi on all the levels of studying. Pardes, Peshat, Remez, Derash, and Sod. And he wrote many Sefarim. We have them. The most famous that we know is the Or HaChaim, which is commentary on the Torah. And most Humashim, when you look at the commentaries that they offer, every Humash offers Pirush Rashi. I'll give you a piece of advice. If you ever go to the bookstore and you buy a Humash and it doesn't have Pirush Rashi in it, ask for your money back. Rashi has to be in the Humash because you can't understand the Pasuk without Rashi. But the other commentaries, not everybody had the merit to be on the page. Or HaChaim HaKadosh is one of those great commentaries that made it to the page. And most Humashim, when you buy them, you'll see Pirush Rashi, Unkelos, and what Rav Chaim ben Attar says, because his pirushim are very, very necessary to understand a lot of times the pshat, what the text is coming to tell us. And he was so great in delivering the flowers, and the tzitzim, the pirachim, the adornments of the text as well. While he was born in Morocco, then he went to Eretz Israel, Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, he had a yeshiva, Knesset Israel. Some of the great students of Or HaChaim HaKadosh that learned in his yeshiva was none other than Rav Chida, Rabbeinu Chaim Yosef David Azulai. So you can imagine, to have a student like Rav Chida You can imagine what the rabbi was. And he was known to study Torah on a very, very deep level. And he talks a lot about it in his books, that he was against those that just study Torah casually. And they study Torah on a superficial level, and they study it through enjoyment and through relaxation, and they study it, you know, in a matter-of-fact way. He said, this is a mistake. The Rav invested all of his energies into the study of the Torah. And he would take great pride when he would write, I did not read any of the books. He was worried that if he reads other books, he might plagiarize and take the Hiddushim and write them. So he says, what I'm writing you only came from me. I toiled and I worked, and I didn't want to be influenced by if something else, maybe I'm going to think it's mine and write it. It only came from an abundance of toil. Now the rabbi did not live a long life at all. He only lived to 47 years old. Even though he wrote some of the greatest books, we have a book called Piri Toar, Hefetz Hashem, Rishon Etzion. These are some of the Sefarim that he left us. Each one is a classic. He had two wives. The reason why he had a second wife is because he didn't have children from his first wife. But I'm sorry to tell you that he didn't have children from his second wife either. Orach HaMakadosh did not have children. And the tzaddikim try to understand and explain how could such a tzaddik like this not have children. And I heard once that they explained it the following way. There is two ways that the tzaddik fulfills Piriyah V'Riviyah, the first mitzvah in the Torah, to procreate. One way is to procreate through physical products, children, physical children, biological children. But there's another concept that's called Piriyah V'Riviyah B'Torah, that you produce spiritual products. Divrei Torah also is a creation. When the Tamid Chacham makes a Hiddush, the Hiddush is something that's new. It wasn't in the world before. And then all of a sudden, through his analysis and his study, he presents from his brain, from his knowledge, an idea. And therefore, this idea is considered a creation. And they say that Orach Chaim HaKadosh, he took all his strength of reproduction and he put it in his books. And therefore, he did not have the power of reproduction in the biological sense. His power of reproduction was solely concentrated and guided in his books. That was his children. And that's why there's a very, very famous, well-known sigula that if somebody, Bar Menan, is struggling in fertility, they tell them to study the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Because the koach of the molid is in the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. He put that strength of reproduction in his words. And therefore, those that read it, it opens up their ability to be fertile in the biological sense. And there's many stories of people that went to tzaddikim, and they asked the tzaddikim, you know, I have issues. They said, go start learning Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And sure enough, shortly after, the koach hamolid went into those that studied it. There's another explanation I must tell you. There was a great rabbi in the Talmud. He's actually one of the Tanaim. His name was Ben Azai. And they once, and he didn't have children either. So they went to Ben Azai. He was once preaching about how important it is to have children. But he didn't have children. So they told him, there's some rabbis that they preach very well, but they don't practice. You're one of those. You preach very well, how it's important to have children, but you don't practice. So Ben Azai tells the rabbis, what should I tell you? Nafshi hashka b'Torah. My soul has complete desire only in learning. Which means that to have children, there has to be a certain amount of desire. A person has to have a certain amount of desire to have a children, without explaining so much. So Ben Azai was saying, what should I tell you? All my desire has been guided in the Torah itself, so I have no desire for anything else. So it's not physically possible for me to have children. That's an amazing concept. Now, if he would have said that his desire is in money, that would not exempt him. But since his desire is in Torah, and Torah is a form of reproduction, so therefore what Ben Azai was actually saying was, I'm fulfilling Piryav Rivya this way, but because I'm filling it in this fashion of studying Torah on this deep level, it has dulled my passion for being biological children, and therefore this passion is my Piryav Rivya. I'm fulfilling it in Torah, and let biological children be fulfilled by other people. Other people will populate the world. I'm doing it this way. It's as if when God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, if you remember, for the first 3 days, he told them they have to separate from their wives. And therefore, these tzaddikim were on that level of the 3 days of Hagbalah when they were separate, which means they were on the level of like Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu, who separated also permanently. But that was the life of Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He was very, very holy, Rabbi, I don't have to tell you. Although he never met the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov was in Mezhbuzh, in Ukraine. I don't recommend anybody visiting Mezhbuzh these days, but we visited it many times. We were there in Mezhbuzh, by the grave of the Baal Shem Tov. And you had two great rabbis that lived at the same time, but never saw each other, but were aware of each other's existence. The Baal Shem Tov said once that he knows that the rabbi in the West, he's referring to Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he has the Ruach of David HaMelech. The spirit of David, which is the Mashiach, is in Or HaChaim. And Baal Shem Tov said of himself that he has the Nefesh of Mashiach, of David inside. So between him and Or HaChaim, you have the Nefesh and the Ruach. So one of his missions in life was to meet him. He said, and if we could come together, we'll produce the neshama of the Mashiach, because you have nefesh, ruach, neshama, and together we'll be able to bring the Mashiach. But lo yistaya milta, Hashem did not allow that to happen, because it wasn't the time. But it's brought down that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, when he passed away, the Baal Shem sensed it. The story is told that it was Shabbat, and it was Seudat Shlishit, and the Baal Shem was making Netilat Yadayim for Seudat Shlishit, and all of a sudden, he sighed. He said, oh, Kava Ner HaMa'aravi, the light of the West has extinguished. They said, what do you mean? They said, Or HaChaim HaKadosh has passed away. It's first of all, it's Shabbat. And even if it wasn't Shabbat, they don't have any communications in Mezhbuzh to Yerushalayim. WhatsApp, they didn't have. Texting, they didn't have. Newspaper, CNN, Baruch Hashem, they didn't have. So the question then is, how does Baal Shem know what's going on? And sure enough, they checked after, and they found out exactly when Baal Shem said it, he had passed away. And the Kabbalists say that there's a certain kavanah, a certain concentration that the tzaddik has during Netilat Yadayim, during Seudat Shlishit on Shabbat. And only one tzaddik in the generation knows that kavanah. And it was known that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh used to have that kavanah. That Shabbat, when the Baal Shem was washing, the kavanah came to him. So he said, oh, if I'm having the kavanah, must be there's no more Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Kavaner HaMa'aravi. In any event, he's buried in Har HaZeitim. And recently I saw a rabbi from Jerusalem, and he had told me that they started a project by the grave of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Every Thursday night, they have a kollel of rabbis that studies the whole entire parasha with the pirush of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh by his grave. And then one of the rabbis says a Devre Torah, and they say Kaddish, and they do this every Thursday night. It's well known also that the great Tzaddikim, they're not only great in their lifetime, but even in their passing, they're even greater. When the Or HaChaim HaKadosh passed away, he's buried on Har HaZeitim, in the Arab section. So you can imagine the Arabs many times tried to raise the grave. They took their tractors and tried to, you know, knock the grave of Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And the story is told that when they came close to the grave of Rahman Kadosh, the tractor fell back and killed the driver. Baruch Hashem, ken yuvdu kol oyvecha Hashem. And then they tried it again, and it happened again. And I wish they continued to try. I hope they continue to try, and they'll have the same success that the original ones had. The point is, this is fire. Rahman Kadosh is fire. It's Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodashim. And his books and his teachings were accepted throughout the world. Why am I giving you this lengthy introduction about Or HaHaim HaKadosh today? I don't usually give you biographies about the great tzaddikim, although I think it's good to do it from time to time, just so you know who these great rabbis are and to know a little about them. Don't ever minimize stories of tzaddikim, ladies. Whenever you have an opportunity to hear stories about tzaddikim, don't say, this is not Divrei Torah, this is stories, and you walk out. That's the main Yirat Shamayim that we garner, is some stories of the tzaddikim. One time, Hafetz Chaim, on Saturday nights, on Motzei Shabbat, he would tell the students stories of tzaddikim. That was his custom. And one time, one of the students, the Hafetz Chaim telling stories, he got up and he went into the Beit Midrash to learn. The Hafetz Chaim said, I wonder what's going to be with this boy's Yirat Shamayim when he grows up. And sure enough, when he grew up, he went off the path. And Hafetz Chaim understood, because he doesn't hear Sipurei Tzaddikim, so he doesn't have anything to look up to or to strive to. But the real reason why I'm telling you this story over here, because when you get to Parashat Bechukotai, it's fair to say that this is the Parashah of the Or HaHaim HaKadosh. Why? Because it's well known that on many of the Pesukim, Or HaHaim HaKadosh gives his opinions. Sometimes he says, I want to explain this Pasuk in four different ways. Sometimes he'll be generous and say, I have six ways to explain the Pasuk. But here he does something that he doesn't do in the whole Torah. He explains the first Pasuk in 42 different approaches. That's why if you saw me turning and turning and turning, because the first Pasuk, this is all the Pirush of the Or HaHaim HaKadosh, one after the other, and each one is a novel, spectacular idea. But there's a story behind the 42 Pirushim of Or HaHaim HaKadosh, which is worthy to tell over today as well. There was a great rabbi in Yerushalayim called Hasadeh. Hasadeh was Harav Shaul Dweck HaKohen. Hasadeh was a great mekubal in Yerushalayim. He was the teacher of our chief rabbi, Hakam Yaakov Katzin, alav shalom. He learned Kabbalah from the Sadeh, Rav Shaul Dweck HaKohen. Nobody liked him. And his rabbi, the Sadeh, one of his rabbis was Hakam Mordechai Abadi, alav shalom from Halab, from Alam Sova. And they had a tradition on the following story. The Sadeh tells over the story from his rabbi, Hakam Mordechai Abadi, who heard it from all the way back to the generation of Or HaHaim HaKadosh. What's the story? Rav Chaim ben Attar, he wasn't a rich man. As a matter of fact, before he died, his wife came to him, and his wife said, you're leaving me, you make a little patnasa for us, now you're leaving me with all these bills, how am I going to pay the bills? So Rav Chaim ben Attar told his wife, you have nothing to worry about. After I die, a man is going to come from Istanbul, from Turkey, and he's going to want to buy my tefillin. Sell him the tefillin, but tell him on one condition that he cannot talk sihat chulin when he's wearing the tefillin. He cannot talk any idle chatter when he's wearing my tefillin, and you'll make a lot of money. How does Or HaHaim HaKadosh know this? He is Ruach HaKodesh. He passed away, sure enough. Guy from Istanbul comes to the house, to the Rebbetzin. I want to buy the tefillin. Aha, there he is. She tells him the price. He says, it's my pleasure. Imagine you have the tefillin of Or HaHaim HaKadosh. But there's one condition, my husband said. You cannot talk any idle talk. I accept. He took the tefillin, he paid her the money. She was very happy. He puts on the tefillin the first time. He said he felt electricity going through his body. He never felt such a charge of Kiddusha. This was something that was tangible. He could feel the light of the Kiddusha, of the tefillin of the Rav, going inside of it was very uplifting. And he kept the condition. One day, in the middle of the prayers, somebody from his business came to him and there was a big problem in the business, and he slipped and he started to talk about the business while he was wearing the tefillin. All of a sudden he felt the lights went off. He felt that's it. He lost the feeling. He went to the sofer and they opened the tefillin and the parchment was blank. All the letters already went back up to Shemaim like the Luchot. That's the story of the tefillin of Urayim HaKadosh to show you how holy. Well, the tefillin finished. It says, you broke the condition, I'm taking them back. So anyway, Urayim HaKadosh had a custom. Every Erev Shabbat, he was a shochet also. He made shechita on the animal. And what would he do? He would give pieces of the meat to the avrechim of the kolel. He had a kolel, and they were tzaddikim, aniyim, and they could not afford to buy meat for Shabbat, so they would come to the Rav's house, Erev Shabbat, he would give them a package of meat, lechmot Shabbat. This was his chesed, one of his chassadim. One Shabbat, Erev Shabbat, there was no kosher meat in the town. All the animals they slaughtered that week became taref. The only animal that came out okay was the rabbis, of course. So he was the only one that had meat. And the rabbis come, of course, to pick up their portion. There was a rich man in the town. He heard that Urayim HaKadosh has meat. He's going to go there. So he tells the rab, I want to buy a piece of meat from the rab. He said, listen, it's not for sale. This only goes to the Talmidei HaChamim, the Avrechim, who are poor and are studying Torah. But I'll pay you. It's nothing to do with paying. This is their allotment. They get it. As he's talking, a young rabbi walks in, and the Urayim HaKadosh gives him the piece of meat. So the rich man says, well, he's also a Talmid Hakam. This is a Talmid Hakam you're talking about? He belittled the rabbi. And Urayim HaKadosh didn't say anything. He kept quiet. He didn't react. He didn't tell the rich man, hey, what kind of business? This is Talmid Hakam. He let it go. That night, or that day actually, Erev Shabbat, they came to him in a dream in the heavens. And they said, because you did not defend the honor of a Talmid Hakam, you let the rich man embarrass the Hakam and you didn't defend his honor, you must go into exile for 1 year. Into Galut. It was Erev Shabbat. He can't go into Galut Erev Shabbat. So he accepted upon himself, right after Shabbat is over, he's leaving. That's what he did. Motzei Shabbat, Shavua Atov, he packed up his bags and he went. Where did he go? He went. Galut. A self-imposed exile. I guess it's really not self-imposed. It was imposed upon him from heaven. But he did it with kavanah to mechaper for the sin. So he's going from city to city. Nobody knows him. He's hidden now. In his town, everybody knew, but away, they don't know. There was no internet. So you look at a picture of the Urayim HaKadosh. Nobody has snapshots of the Urayim HaKadosh. So you don't know what he looks like. They heard about him, for sure. Now it's Erev Shabbat, Parashat Bechukotai, and he's on the walk, he's on the run. Erev Shabbat, he saw a nice little field. He said, you know what? What did the tzaddikim do Erev Shabbat? They go sit down and they start thinking Hadushim for the Shabbat. So he sits under the tree and he starts, and during that session, when he was in Galut, he was able to come up with 42 different interpretations on the Pasuk. That's what had happened when he was in the exile. Okay. After that, he came into the town. Friday night, he's in Shul. He doesn't have what to eat. He's a guest. He's a nomad. Not by that. One of the fellows in the shul sees this old man. He sees a man. He looks like a guest, stranger. He says, do you have a place to eat tonight? He says, I don't. Baruch Abba. Urayim HaKadosh goes. He has no idea that this is Urayim HaKadosh. Now they sit down, they have a meal. Urayim is not saying too much. This is a tikkun. Before Birkat HaMazon, the host says, listen, we have a custom in this town that for Birkat HaMazon, we all go to the rabbi and we have dessert over there and he tells us Hiddushim. Our rabbi has the ability, he sends his neshama up to the heavens and he brings down Hiddushim and he tells us. Rami Gadol says, okay, Baruch Abba, whatever you tell me, I'm a guest. They finish, they go to the rabbi's house. The rabbi, it's like a tish, Ashkenazi beftish. They sit down with the Rebbe and they make it. This was not, maybe it was by the Ashkenazi, who knows. In any event, so the rabbi comes along and says, okay, Rabotai, we're going to say some Devrei Torah. So he closes his eyes, the rabbi, and his neshama goes up to the heavens. And all of a sudden he wakes up, he says, oh, wow, Rabotai, I want to tell you over 14 new interpretations on the Pasuk, Im b'chukotai telechu. And you must know that these 14 Hadushim are being said over in heaven, in the Metivta de Rekia, in the Yeshiva Shel Ma'ala, in the name of the great Rabbi Rabbeinu Chaim Atar, Orach Mekadosh. So the rabbi who's sitting at the table gets up and says, Chaim Ben Atar. Chaim Ben Atar. Rabbi Chaim. Chaim Ben Atar. They said, well, you kind of sit down, they put him down. What kind of chutzpah? He has no respect for the rabbi. He calls him Chaim Ben Atar. I said, oh, okay. The host apologized to the rabbi. I'm sorry I brought this guy. I didn't know I'm honest, he doesn't know. Okay, now they went home. Very nice. 14 Hindushim. Come Shabbat morning, same thing. They have Seudah. They go to the rabbi's house. The rabbi closes his eyes. He sends his neshama up. Comes back down, Abotai. Another 14. And he says, another 14 Hindushim. And Imrakotai Telechu. And he says, and these Hindushim are being said in Metivta Derekia, in the heavenly body. Yeshiva, in the name of Rabbeinu Chaim Ben Atar. And he gets up to Orach Chaim and goes, Chaim Ben Atar. Say, again with you? And they sit him down. So that Shlishi, same story. Go back to the rabbi's house, the last 14, which is altogether 42. And he says, these are being said from Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Rabbeinu Chaim Ben Atar. And the rabbi gets up, Chaim Ben Atar. I said, we had enough of you. They took the Orach Chaim HaKadosh and they locked him up in the closet. They put him in the closet. They said, listen, we'll leave him there, and after Shabbat, we'll figure out what to do with him. In the olden days, they didn't let a guy get away. You're not respecting Talmid Chachamim. They didn't just say, okay, don't worry about it, Shabbat Tov. They took the guy and they locked him up. And they gave him consequences, like we say today. Consequences. They put him in the closet, they lock him up. And Orach Chaim HaKadosh is stuck in there. Dog, whatever it may be. Who knows what was in there, Nahashim Akravim. Now, they go pray Arbit. After Arbit, a tornado comes into the town like they never saw. A tempest, a storm, Ruach Se'ara, Sadevaro, Geshem Nedavot, raining. The rabbi was so scared. We never saw this type of weather. And it just happened, the second Shabbat was over, boom. They said, what's going? They said, Rabbi, send your neshama up to the Shamayim and give us the report. He says, okay, closes his eyes, he sends his neshama up. Which, the tzaddikim know how to do this. They're able to communicate from the heavens. And all of a sudden they say, listen, this is because what you did to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, you locked him up. We locked up the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. What are you talking about? They said, listen, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the books bring down that 6 days a week Gehinam is opened. On the seventh day Shabbat, Gehinam closes down. And the Rishayim have a respite. They have a day off. In those days, when does Gehinam go back on again? When the Orach Chaim HaKadosh lights the ner for Havdalah, when he says, Borei Meorei HaEsh, it turns on the fires of Gehinam, but he didn't make the Havdalah yet, so now the Gehinam is on earth. So yep, if you want to get rid of the Gehinam, let him free. So we didn't know that's Orach Chaim HaKadosh. We didn't know that was him. He said, listen, don't worry. You're not going to get punished. This was his tikkun. But let him go and tell him he could go back home. Tell him he made his tikkun, that he had to go through bushot. Look at this, all because once he allowed the Tamir Hakam to be embarrassed and he didn't protest. It shows you how serious the Hakam treated. And probably also the Zohar Kadosh writes, Tamir Hakam ikre Shabbat. The Zohar Kadosh says, a synonym or a nickname for a rabbi is Shabbat. There's reasons why they call Talmidei Chachamim Shabbat. So therefore, that's probably why it had to happen on Shabbat, that he had to ridicule himself in order to metaken what he did legabe the Talmidei Chachamim Dekri Shabbat. Okay, put all that on the side. Now that you got the story, now we have to see what he said. After all, this is a Torah class, not a story class. But that introduction is very important. Now let's go learn what he said. Now you're lucky because I'm going to go through all 42 today. I'm just kidding. I wish I can. I wish I had the time. So I chose a couple of the major ones that I think you'll appreciate. But don't take my shortened version. Do yourself a favor. Get a copy of the Rechem HaKadosh and go through them to the best of your ability. Listen, I believe there must be a reason why he stopped at 42. I mean, it's not because he ran out of Hiddushim. I believe if he wanted to go on, he could have went on to 142. And there's a reason why he didn't stop at 41 either. 42 in Kabbalah is a very significant significant number. There's a name of God that's called Shem Mem Bet, the 42-letter name of God that comes from the Anna Bechawah. And it's quite possible that, listen, the Orach HaMekadosh had the Neshama of Mashiach. So it could be he was, since he was in exile, our rabbis tell us that just like when the Jews left Egypt, they had to go through 42 Masa'ot, station stops, before they can go to Israel. So too, before Mashiach comes, there has to be a exile, that the Jews will go into 42 exiles, however that means. I know there's four major exiles, but in the four, there's going to be smaller ones. And after we reach the level of 42, then Mashiach will come. So who knows, it's possible that Torah HaMekadosh to his Torah, just like he fulfilled Priyavirivya in his Torah, so therefore, it could be he's fulfilling the exiles also, the 42 in his Torah. The tzaddikim, they perform certain activities in a spiritual sense. So therefore, it could be he was already activating the inyan of the 42, and no better place to activate it when he himself was in exile. So therefore, he's already in the process of the Membet Masa'ot. So instead of going to 42 stations, each, I'm just saying this maybe, each dirash that he gave was a different kavanah towards that goal. And it's in Parashat Berukotai. We know that Parashat Berukotai is the promises of what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. That's why the Mekubalim write, Im Berukotai Telechu. The Im represents all the redeemers of Israel in the generations of redemption. The Im was, in Egypt, it was Aharon and Moshe. That's Im. And then in the later generation, it was Esther and Mordechai. That's also Im. And when Mashiach comes, it's Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach, which is also Im. Eliyahu Mansur, but that's... I always tell you that, but don't take that lightly either. But the point is, could be in Parashat Berukotai already, the rabbi's mind was on these messianic inyanim, and who knows, maybe that's why he came up with the 42. I just want to give you today, if I may, two or three of the items that he said. Now, I must tell you also, Im Bechukotai Telechu. Last Friday night, I was in Jerusalem, and I was able to pray at the Western Wall. Friday night, Arbit. Baruch Hashem, we had more than a minyan. There must have been 10,000 people there. And it was like the old days that we remember the Kotel. People go on Friday night and they're in a good mood, they're singing and they're dancing, they're accepting Shabbat the proper way outside. It was something spectacular. So I was in the minyan, sizable minyan of the Sefer Adim in the back, and the great rabbi in charge of that minyan saw me there. He said, Rabbi Eli, please, in between Kabbalat Shabbat, say something. There's 10,000 people. I can just say something. There's no microphone on Shabbat over here. The Ben Ishai Alav Shalom used to give the Rashot on Shabbat in Baghdad. He used to stand on the balcony and talk to tens of thousands of people, and everybody said they were able to hear him. They said there was a Berakha in the voice of the Ben Ishai. It was like it traveled. Unfortunately, I don't have the Berakha of the Ben Ishai, but nonetheless, I said the following Hadush to them just to excite them. I said, the Orach HaMekadosh says 42 explanations on the words Im Bechukotai Telechu. And I will now say the 43rd explanation in honor of the people that are assembled here tonight, after all, we're at the Kotel Ma'arabi. So it says that the Shekhinah never left the Kotel Ma'arabi. Inneh zeh omed ahar kotlenu. God is resting behind the wall. Therefore, anytime somebody wants to come and go to a place to feel the charge of the Shekhinah, you know, Shekhinah lo zaza from the Makom de Kotel Ma'arabi. That is what we say, Hok velo yavor. Hok means it's a fixed rule. It doesn't change. It's not one day this and one day that. When you have something that's fixed, it's called Hok. So I said, Im behokotai, if you're interested in going to a place where there is a fixed presence of the Shekhinah, Telechu. If you take the word Telechu, it's the same letters as Kotel. Kotel, Telechu. Go to the Kotel Ma'arabi. Oh, and everybody was so excited that what they were doing that night is actually Mirumaz in the Parasha. Im behokotai Telechu. But now let's go to the Orachim HaKadosh. And I pray that we'll say these dirashot in his name. And now we know who he is, it'll bring a great credit. The zechut of the Rav will bring us a lot of beracha. Anybody that has an issue or needs something should mechaven now. Before we introduce the Orachim HaKadosh, everybody needs yeshuot, including the rabbi. Everybody needs things. Everybody's needy. So what do you do when you're needy? You invoke the power of the tzaddik. And the tzaddik goes and intervenes in the heavens. This week, the tzaddik is the Orachim HaKadosh. So how do you invoke him? You have to present his Torah. And the tzaddik says, aha, you're presenting my Torah properly? Beautiful. And now, who's present here? It takes attendance. Who's there? Oh, they're all listening? Beautiful. They accepted it? Beautiful. But we have to, the rabbi was a stickler that you must study his Torah l'shem shamayim. L'shem shamayim. So we're not studying it for any benefit. We're studying it l'shem shamayim like he wrote it, but the zechut of it will generate a blessing. So I'm going to read you number... Let's go to number 5. Od yitba'er al derech omram שהרשות נתונה ללומדי תורה לפרש בה ולדרוש בכמה אורחים ושבילים. The Torah, I picked this one because it's so appropriate to what he's doing. The Torah is multifaceted. It's not limited to one or two interpretations. The Torah, against what people think, contrary to what people think, the Torah is actually a very flexible book. Flexible in the sense that it lends itself to many variations and many different types of understanding the same text. It's like a destination that you have many roads to get to the destination. Sometimes when you type into the GPS, they give you certain routes, alternate routes. Ultimately, it will get you to the same place. The Torah has many shevilin. Shevilin is roads. The urchin, the derachim, and paths. And they all emit. However, he says, the talmid batik yahadesh b'derashot haketuvim. A true talmid hakam is able to take the text and develop it and create ideas. However, he says, Ka'asher yuchal hakatuv se'et. As long as the text can tolerate it. That means, it's very nice to say derashot, but it has to fit into the text. You can't take the text out of its understanding and just throw in, and you need a wrench in order to put your hadush in there, and it has no loyalty to what's being said. So again, whenever a person gives the Rash, says Orachim HaKadosh, you must put it through the litmus test. And the litmus test to know if it's true or not is, number one, can the text tolerate what you're saying? Can you fit your idea into the words? Kechol asher tasig yedo betorato.
Vaitzav Hashem Kana, that's why God says over here, in Behokotai, Hokotai is the Torah, Telechu, Telechu, there's many roads, Telechu, take the roads, Bepardesa, in the Pardes, Pshat, Remez, Lasod, there's many roads, and that's why it's an endless journey. That's why if you go to the bookstore, every week you see there's new books being printed, new roads being uncovered, new pathways that are being revealed. Hu adabar. However, it says in Bechukotai Telechu veMitzvotai Teshmeru. This is the second rule. You must keep the mitzvah. Pirush shelo yiyeh megale panim b'Torah shelo kahalacha. You're allowed to make novel interpretations so long it doesn't run against the halacha. There's accepted law. There's accepted minhag. There's an accepted what the mitzvot are. A person cannot come along and say, I have a hadush. And his hadush is now going to undermine the halachic norms that have been accepted in the Shulchan Aruch. No. A hadush has to fit into the accepted halachic practices. If somebody will come along and make a new hadush, say, I want to make a new hadush now, and it comes out, you don't have to do this on Shabbat. This is called Megale Panim Batura Shiluk Halakha. Even though he says, I have a pasuk, like the Tzedukim. The Tzedukim came along and they found the text. And they said, Lo Tevaru Esh Mechol Moshpotechem B'Yom HaShabbat. Now, they found the text and they didn't take the text out of context. They read it literally. Do not light a fire on your abode on Shabbat. Now they learned it, that you cannot have a fire in your house on Shabbat. Only problem is, that goes against halakha. You're allowed to have a fire in your house on Shabbat, if you lit it from before Shabbat. But they came along and said that you can't even light fire on Friday. That means they were being even more strict. They were even being more strict than the law. So they took away already the mitzvah. So the Rab says, Shelo letaher et hatameh. We're not allowed to purify what the Torah says is contaminated. Va'asitem otam. Shelo letameh et hatahor. And you cannot make tameh what is tahor. V'hu ma'amaram ha'megaleh panim b'Torah shelo kahalacha eno chelek la'olam haba. So that's what the pasuk is saying. Im b'chukotai, if you want to study Torah, telechu. Well, there's many roads to study Torah. But be careful. Make sure it doesn't go against any of the mitzvot, ba'asitem otam, and you will fulfill and you will be able to practice what Hashem said. So that's and unfortunately we have the conservative, the reform, the modern, they're known for this, that they come along and they make new ideas because they want to fit into the culture and they want to fit into society, and instead of conforming to the Torah, they wanted the Torah to conform to what's going on in the street, and therefore they come up with all this corruption, and they convolute the text. They say, look, the Torah's agreeing with what the society says. Anytime you have some new idea that comes out of one of the universities, you have one of these modern guys, oh look, the Torah agrees with it. What do you have to conform with the colleges for? The Torah has to conform only to the truth and to the Shulchan Aruch and to the normative law. Now we say one more, which is number six, which is also a very important lesson. Od yitba'er ve'lo am ha'aretz hasid. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avot. After all, we have to study a little Pirkei Avot. The am ha'aretz cannot be a hasid. What does that mean? Am ha'aretz is ignoramus. Ignoramus is somebody who doesn't study Torah. If you don't study Torah, you cannot be pious. What does it mean? Or Hashem Kadosh will say, although being pious is a virtue, but if you're an Am Ha'aretz, you have no right to act in a pious way. What do we mean? Pirush, she'asur la'Am Ha'aretz letneheg b'chasidut. If you have an Am Ha'aretz that says, I want to be strict, I want to be mahmir, but Hashem Kadosh says, being mahmir is not for the Am Ha'aretz. You know why? שיעשה חומרות וגדרים, because he's going to think he's being strict and making all type of fences and, you know, boundaries for himself. כמנהג החסידים, כי לפעמים יעשה חומרה, sometimes he's going to do a stringency בדבר שהוא אדרבה עבריין. His stringency will be a sin. And he tells the story. He says, forgive me, but this is the example that the Rama Kadosh gives. He said there was some Amaris guy, and the guy saying, the Torah looks at the kiddushah of marriage. We look at the sanctity of marriage. So he accepted upon himself that he's going to only fulfill the sanctity of marriage only on holy days, only on Shabbatot, Yamim Tovim, because since we don't look at marriage as something, you know, physical and something lustful, we look at it as Harat Mikudeshet. So he's going to be Mahmir Da'ama Ares. He says, I'm only going to be with my wife on Yamim Tovim Shabbatot. So what did he do? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. He says, Ki Yimaseh Hasid, She Yitzel Ligdor Asmo Lekeim Mitzvot Ona B'Yamim HaMikudashim. V'tiye Be'inav Mitzvah Gedola. He thinks, oh, Big Tzadik I am. Neshamesh Mitato B'Lel Kippur. He says, Kemo Sheshamanu Shaya Ma'asekin. He says, I heard it happened. He said, this was not Stam. Because the Ama'ares, he doesn't know. And therefore, he just thinks of his own ideas, but he never learned. Lachen Sivu She'en Ama'ares Tetnaeg Mebidat Hasidut. V'hu Ma'amar Hashem Kan. Im Behokotai Telechu. If you're going to follow my Torah, which is what? Esek HaTorah study. Az Ve'et Mitzvotai Tishmeru. The word tishmeru means to protect. That means to make a fence. When are you allowed to make fences? When are you allowed to be strict? When should you accept upon yourself shemira yetera, extra precautions? If you study the Torah, if you know what the law is, then you have a right to make fences, because your fences are not going to come to break the law, they're only going to come to protect the law. But if you don't know what the law is, then the Ama'ar is going to come along and make all sorts of ideas. Like my Rabbi Acham Baruch used to tell us the story about the Ama'aretz, that one time saw the rabbi who lived across the street from him. He saw smoke coming out of his chimney on Shabbat. And the Ama'aretz said, look at this. The rabbi doesn't know you can't make a fire on Shabbat. I better go tell him something. So he leaves his house on Shabbat. It was raining, so he took his umbrella with him. And he opens his umbrella. And as he's walking across the street, he goes from his house to the public domain. And as he's walking out, there's a tree. He pulls an apple off the tree. He eats the apple. And now he goes to the rabbi's house. He closes the umbrella. He squeezes the water out of the umbrella. He rings the bell. And now he tells the rabbi. The rabbi says, what are you doing over here? He says, this is Shabbat Shalom Hakam. Please forgive me. Yislach li. But I see smoke coming out of the rabbi's chimney. Shabbat. So I had to come and tell the rabbi, it's forbidden. He said, Ya Hamor, Ya Tepesh, Ya Ma'aretz. He said, my daughter just gave birth. The halakha says that when a lady is giving birth on Shabbat, you can be me'alil Shabbat. So I was in the right. But look how many avonot you made from walking across the street. You opened the umbrella, boneh. You closed the umbrella, soted. You squeezed the umbrella, sohet. You carried from Reshut Yachid to Reshut Rabim. And then from Reshut Rabim to Reshut Yachid. You were tolesh. You put an apple off the tree and you knocked on, you rang the bell. You made all the lamitet melachot be'isur to come and tell me that I'm doing a mitzvah. Velo Ama'aretz Hasid. The Ama'aretz, unless he learns, he'll never be able to know what to be strict on. And that's what happens today. Today people don't learn. They don't know what halakha is. And they're being strict on all these stringencies that are extras. Read this 42 times backwards. Read this 16 times a day. Put a string on your left foot. Or all these things. But this is not the principle of law. First we have to know the halakhot. What's the dinim of Shabbat? And then once you know the dinim, then already you can start taking upon yourself the chumrah. That's the two interpretations of the Rav. Number one, im b'chukotai telechu. You must know Torah has many roads. However, the roads must be loyal to the text, v'et mitzvotai teshmeru. They cannot run against the mitzvot. If somebody will come along and say a derash, and the derash is going against something that we know to be true already, this derash is worthless. And secondly, im b'chukotai telechu, only after you study Torah, then it mitzvotai tishmiru. Then you can make a shemira around the mitzvot. But v'lo ama'ar es hasid. An ignoramus will make all these precautions, and his precautions will actually lead him to make sin because he doesn't even know what he's protecting. Could you imagine? This is only 2 out of the 40. Ezat Hashem, in the coming years, I'll check off in my homash which ones we did, and we'll take it up from here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.